Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And you are joining us for day two of our lesson about Zanzibar. We're enjoying Ian Ludwig's experiences in Zanzibar. And today we're going to find out a little bit about his time on the beach at Zanzibar, which just makes me wonder about your favorite activity to do on the beach. Nathaniel, what's something that you like to do when you go to a beach?
Well, I love to bodyboard. I wish that I could surf, but because I can't, I bodyboard, which is kind of like surfing, though you're laying down.
All right, bodyboarding is a lot of fun. Carolyn, what's something that you like to do when you visit the beach?
Well, I really love to play in the sand and build sand castles with my family. So a lot of vacations, we would go to the beach together and build very large sand castles.
Well, I would be interested in seeing one of those sand castles. I'm not very good at making sand castles. I also am not a very good surfer, although I did start learning recently, and I think I'm going to do that more and more. It is a lot of fun. It's great fun to visit the beach. There are many things you can do there. We're going to learn more about Ian's time on the beaches of Zanzibar right now.
Zanzibar. The next day, we went to a beach on a small island nearby. We snorkeled, played frisbee, and ate fresh seafood on the beach. The third day, we decided to go and stay at a beach called Pagay. Our hotel was right on the beach, and the floors in our rooms were the sand. We swam, read, and danced to African music. The warm, shallow water makes kite surfing very popular here.
Hello, friends. This is your Word Lady, Ellen. We're back with day two of our adventure into the exotic lands of Zanzibar. Before we continue, here are the vocabulary words for the day. Snorkel. Snorkel is a verb. We saw many beautiful fish when we snorkeled around the island. Shallow. Shallow is an adjective. The water is very shallow here, so it is safe for the kids to go swimming. Urge. Urge is a verb. William urged his brother to finish college before he traveled around the world. Eventually. Eventually is an adverb. After Martha got home, she ate dinner, watched TV, and played games. Eventually, she studied for her test. Your more information words are frisbee. Frisbee is a noun. Kite surfing. Kite surfing is a noun. Fin. Fin is a noun. Looks like we'll be continuing on quite the adventure.
Well, we see here that the next day we went to a beach on a small island nearby. So, although Zanzibar is an island, it has other small islands around it. And they went to a beach on one of those islands. And what did they do there, Carolyn?
We see that we snorkeled, played frisbee, and ate fresh seafood on the beach. So it sounds like they had a really great time at this beach. And there's a key word in that sentence, snorkel. If you snorkel, where are you, Gabe?
Oh, you're in the water enjoying looking at the fishes and everything down below. When you snorkel, you're on the surface of the water. You're using things to help you breathe on the surface of the water. So you're not going down into the water. Nathaniel, if you do go down into the water, what is that called?
Well, if you are going underwater, that would be scuba diving, but snorkeling is different. That's important to know. And it's very fun to snorkel if you know a good place to do it. It's a good thing to try if you haven't. They also mentioned that they played frisbee, which maybe you've heard of. It's kind of a round disc that you can throw to each other.
And if you play frisbee, actually the first thing I think of is ultimate frisbee. Maybe they played this game. You have two teams, and it's kind of using the rules of football. You have a goal on each end, but you use a frisbee instead of a ball. Ultimate frisbee is a great game to play on a beach or anywhere.
Okay, continuing in the article, we see that the third day we decided to go and stay at a beach called Paje. Okay, particular beach was called Paje, and this is where they stayed, because we also see that our hotel was right on the beach, and the floors in our rooms were the sand. It's very interesting. The floors of the room were actually the sand, probably the sand right on the beach, and that's what we want to talk about, this phrase called right on. That's a bonus phrase we want to talk about today. Right on the beach. Kind of means directly on the beach. It was right there. What are ways that we could use this, Carolyn?
Well, if you say something is right on something else, then you are trying to emphasize or show very clearly that that is the location. Maybe I can't find my books. I don't know where they are. And then I see they were right on my desk the whole time. So they were there. On my desk. How else might you use this phrase, Gabe?
Well, you can use that word right with other prepositions as well. Maybe you're looking for your books. They're not right on your desk. They're right under your desk, or they're right next to your desk. So you can use that word right to talk about the exact location of something. And of course, they stayed right on the beach, and the floors of their hotel rooms were the sand. That sounds really interesting. It actually sounds like quite an exotic experience, not something that I would experience every day.
No, it is kind of unusual, not something that you would see every day. And we're going to talk about the usage of sand, or at least Steve and Ken are going to tell us about how to use sand or sands when we speak. Let's see what they have to say to us today.
Let's talk about a very simple word today, sand. You know, the stuff that you find at a beach. Steve, what should we remind our students of when they want to use this word?
Well, they should remember that most of the time the word sand is uncountable.
That's right. Sand is uncountable. That means you don't add an S at the end of it. There is a lot of sand at the beach. If you want to count sand, you can use the word grain. I think there's a grain of sand in my eye.
There's only one instance that I can think of that we use sand as a countable noun, and that is in the phrase, the sands of time.
Ah, yes, the sands of time are running out.
If you've ever seen how sand flows in an hourglass, you'll appreciate this saying, which means time is getting short, and you should do what you need to do now.
Carpe diem!
Yes, nice one, Ken. Carpe diem is a Latin phrase that means seize the day. If time is running out, we should grab hold of the present before it's too late.
真的，看文讲到他们住的旅馆就在沙滩上，而且房间的地板就是sand，sand是沙，这是一个不可数名词。若是要数的话，要用grain，grain，a grain, grain of sand，是一粒沙。Sand只有一个地方可以当可数名词，the sands of time，这是一个比较古老文言的用法，指的是时间、光阴、岁月。我们可以说，the sands of time are running out。这句话表示。 长日将近，时间剩下不多了。我们可以想象一个 hourglass 沙漏，里头的沙不断的流逝，时间的流逝会提醒我们要 carpe diem， 这是拉丁文，意思就是 seize the day， 把握今天，不要虚度时光。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
That is very helpful to know how to use sand versus sands. Thank you, Steve and Ken. And now we see some other things that Ian did with his friends at the beach. We swam, read, and danced to African music. Sounds like a lot of fun to be doing that on the beach. Have you ever danced to music on the beach, Carolyn?
I have not, but it sounds very interesting, and especially with African music, because that is a little bit exotic to me. What about you, Gabe?
Well, I have actually danced to music on the beach. It was a beach in Boracay in the Philippines, and it was a lot of fun. There was music playing, so some of my friends and I just started to dance. And of course, you can do many things to music. Like you can see, we swam and read. There was music playing in the background. So you can use that phrase, that kind of pattern. We did this to music. Or we did that to the rhythm. We danced to the rhythm. We read, we swam, and we danced to the music.
Great. Okay, the next sentence now says, the warm, shallow water makes kite surfing very popular there. Okay, and we want to talk about a word in this sentence because it is a key word today. The word shallow. Shallow. Basically, it means not deep. Water can, of course, be very shallow and sometimes is not very deep. What are other ways that we could use this word, Carolyn?
Well, if it hasn't rained for a while, you could say that the river is very shallow. There isn't very much water in it, and you can probably just walk across. It's very shallow water. How else might you use this word, Gabe?
Well, the words shallow and deep can be used to talk about literal things here, or you can use these words in other ways. Maybe you're having a very deep conversation with somebody. Or if you just met somebody, you might have kind of a shallow conversation at first. Maybe it's not too deep yet. You're having a shallow conversation.
Oh, that's a great usage as well. Sometimes we might also talk about shallow breathing. You can't breathe very well and you're not breathing very deeply. You're just taking little breaths. That would be called shallow breathing. Okay, this sentence also mentioned kite surfing, which I have never done before. Have either of you been kite surfing, or do you know much about kite surfing?
Oh, I've never been kite surfing, but I've seen people do it. It looks really cool, and you know, they make it look really easy, but I don't think it's that easy. Carolyn, have you ever done kite surfing?
I have not, but it does look like a lot of fun, and I think it would be great to try, although I have a feeling I will probably fall down many times and get very wet.
Well, that's what happens at first when you're learning something. Kite surfing can also be called kite boarding. Are you into kite surfing or kite boarding?
Okay, maybe you should give it a try, but right now we're going to see Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 首先我们看的是 snorkel 这个动词。Snorkel 是指浮潜。例如 we snorkeled in the famous tropical bay for hours. 我们在这个有名的热带海湾浮潜了好几个小时。Snorkel 本身也可以当名词，意思就是浮潜用的水下通气管。例如 William packed his mask, fins and snorkel for his trip to the Bahamas. William 将蛙镜、蛙鞋跟呼吸管打包准备带去巴哈马。继续我们看的是 shallow 这个形容词。shallow 是指浅的，用来形容水、器具或者是呼吸。例如 the dish was displayed on a shallow plate. 这道菜被展示在一个浅的盘子上。或者是 the patient's breathing was fast and shallow. 这名病患的呼吸既快又浅。shallow 也可以指肤浅的。例如 the model was often criticized as being arrogant and shallow. 这位模特儿常常被批评既骄傲又肤浅。
We're joining Ian Ludwig and his experiences in the exotic place of Zanzibar. And of course, earlier today we were talking about his times on the beach. They went to a couple of different beaches, they snorkeled, they played frisbee, they enjoyed some seafood, they swam, they read, and they danced to African music. They're having a lot of fun so far. Let's continue and find out what the second part of our reading is for today.
Zanzibar. Very early on the morning of the fifth day, we journeyed to the island's southern tip. There we met a fisherman who, when he saw us, said, "Are you ready to swim with dolphins?" Dolphins! He told us the dolphins came every morning to eat and play. So we rowed out and waited in the boat until we saw a dolphin fin. The fisherman drove the boat near the dolphins and urged us to jump in. So we did. The dolphins were shy, but we could hear them talking to each other. Eventually, they swam closer. One came so close, I could have touched it.
Well, they're doing some very exciting things on this vacation. We're going to talk about them now. The first sentence of this part of the article says, "Very early on the morning of the fifth day, we journeyed to the island's southern tip." Okay, so they're going to a particular part of the island to do something new. Do something new there. Let's see, what do they say first about what they're going to do there, Carolyn?
Well, we see there we met a fisherman who, when he saw us, said, "Are you ready to swim with dolphins?" So that's a bit of a long sentence with a lot of commas, just trying to explain the situation to you. But are you ready to swim with dolphins? Now, Gabe, have you ever swam with dolphins?
No, I have not swam with dolphins. I've seen dolphins play up close before in the ocean, but I would love to get the chance to swim with dolphins. And Ian says, dolphins. He is excited about this too. Dolphins with an exclamation mark. If you're excited about something, maybe you could just write that one word and put an exclamation mark behind it. Dolphins. That does sound exciting.
That's right. He says that for emphasis. It's his response to what the fisherman said. And then he continues, he told us the dolphins came every morning to eat and play. So the fisherman sees them a lot. Continuing on, what does it say, Carolyn?
It says, so we rowed out and waited in the boat until we saw a dolphin fin. So it wasn't immediate, not right away, that they were able to see the dolphins. They had to wait a little bit until they saw the dolphin's fin. That's the part that sticks up out of the water on the dolphin's back. So what happened next, Gabe?
Well, yes, they saw the dolphin fin. The fishermen drove the boat near the dolphins. And let me just talk about that word fin for a minute. If you see a fin in the water, it's not necessarily a good thing. When I usually think of a fin, I think of a shark fin, because sharks also have that thing on their back sticking up. And maybe you've seen some movies where there's a shark fin along the top of the water and it's coming towards the person. That's kind of scary. Nathaniel, would you rather see a dolphin fin or a shark fin?
Well, depending where I was, I might choose one or the other. It might be interesting to see a shark fin at a zoo or a place like that. But if I was in the water, I definitely would want to see a dolphin fin. Okay, so this sentence, the fisherman drove the boat near the dolphins and urged us to jump in. Urged us to jump in. What does it mean to urge someone to do something? Well, we're going to talk about this word urged, because that is a word bank word today. To urge someone to do something, what does that mean, Carolyn?
Well, if you urge someone to do something, then you tell them to do something. You really want them to do it. And you might urge your friend to continue. Don't give up. If they're in a race, you can cheer them on and urge them to finish the race. How else might you use this word, Gabe?
Well, maybe someone is sick and they're not taking their medicine like they should. You could urge your friend to take their medicine. It's something that they need to do. I urge you to sleep and to rest well. Drink plenty of water. You must do these things. Actually, if someone starts a sentence with, "You must do something," you could also say that person is urging you to do something.
Okay, great examples. And now there's also another phrase right after urge that we want to talk about. Jump in. Urged us to jump in. That's a bonus phrase for us today that we want to look at. Jump in can be taken literally, as in this case, when they're actually jumping into the water, but we can also use it in a more general way, can't we?
Yes. So if you jump into something, then maybe you weren't expecting to do it, or you didn't really prepare for it. And here, I think it could be either meaning, because they didn't know they were going to swim with dolphins, so they jumped into this experience.
That's right.
How else can you use this, Gabe?
Well, I do think about Ian and his friends. It seems like they just jumped into the culture there at Zanzibar. They jumped into this adventure. They didn't maybe know much about it before, but they just jumped in and got going.
Yes, you just get started when you jump in. Sometimes we just say to another person, just jump in. It may seem scary now, but once you get started, it will be fine. So what did they do? Well, the article says, so we did. They jumped in. And now we get to enjoy another video about Zanzibar today. Let's take a look. Well, it's good to be actually able to see what they were doing there in Zanzibar. That's pretty fun. Okay, the next sentence of the article says, the dolphins were shy, but we could hear them talking to each other. That's an interesting idea. I think you might have heard these kind of squeaking noises of dolphins talking to each other before. Would you please continue, Gabe?
Of course. Eventually, they swam closer. The dolphins seemed shy at first, but over time, they swam closer. Let's take a look at that word bank word, eventually. This means it will happen sometime in the future. Eventually, this will happen. Carolyn, how could you use that word?
Well, I need to get some groceries, but I don't really have a lot of time. Eventually, I will go to the store and buy them.
All right, eventually I'll go to the store. Some people say, I don't want to get married now, but eventually I will get married. Sometime in the future, I will be married. How might you use that word, Nathaniel?
Well, eventually, I would like to visit Europe. I've never been there before, but I will eventually. The last sentence of this section says, one came so close, I could have touched it. To be that close to a dolphin that you could almost touch it, that's a cool experience. And now let's go to talk to Michelle one more time in the language lab.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 urge 这个动词。Urge 在这里是指催促或者是极力主张。例如 ,the congressman urged the Congress to pass the bill. 这位国会议员极力主张国会要通过这个法案。Urge 也可以当名词，意思是指强烈的欲望或冲动。例如 ,I fought the urge to fall asleep throughout the entire session. 我整堂课都在跟想睡觉的冲动对抗。最后我们看的是 eventually 这个副词。Eventually 是指终于或终究。例如 ,after a long delay, the flight eventually took off. 经过长很长时间的误点，这个航班终于起飞了。Eventually 跟 finally 有一点点不同。Eventually 通常是几经波折后来终于发生。但是 finally 通常是指对这个事物的发生长时间的期待。例如 ,my mail order finally arrived. 我邮购的东西终于到了。Now I'll give the time back to our teachers.
Well, today we saw that Ian and his friends interacted with some dolphins, so we're going to talk a little bit about some exotic animals that we have played with or interacted with in some way. I know that I've fed some bananas to elephants before in Thailand, and they would bow to me when I fed them. What have you done, Carolyn, with animals like this?
Well, I don't know if it's a very exotic animal for everyone, but West Virginia has a lot of deer. So growing up, it was very easy if you were walking through the woods to come across a baby deer, and they are very shy, but many times you could feed them or even pet them.
Well, one exotic animal that I got to hold actually was a koala. When I was filming for Let's Talk in English a couple of years ago, I held a koala. And it's true what they say, koalas are often sleeping. He just seemed like a very sleepy creature.
Okay, well, we have more to talk about regarding Zanzibar tomorrow, so please come back. There's more experiences that Ian had. We'll see you next time on Studio Classroom.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Huck had to agree. So they got two very old spades, and on Saturday afternoon they set out for the haunted house. Nobody had lived there for a very long time. It looked so sad, and there was such silence that the boys were afraid to go in at first. Then they went slowly to the door and looked in. they saw a room without a floor. A few weeds were growing inside. There was no glass in any of the windows. The stairs were broken and dangerous, and the old fireplace was useless. With their hearts beating fast, the two boys went in. They spoke in whispers, and they were ready to run out if they heard a sound. After a time, they grew less afraid, and they began to look around, rather proud to find themselves so brave. They wanted to look upstairs. It seemed a dangerous thing to do, but curiosity won. They threw their spades into a corner among some weeds and climbed carefully. There was nothing upstairs, and they were ready to go down and begin digging.
"Shh," said Tom.
"What is it?"
whispered Huck, white with fear.
"Shh! There! Hear it?"
"Yes. Oh, let's run."
"Keep still. Don't move. They're coming straight to the door."
The boys lay on the floor, looking through holes in the wood, very frightened. Two men came into the haunted house. Each boy said to himself,
"That's the old Spaniard that people have seen in the village a few times.
The deaf and dumb Spaniard, as people call him, because he can't hear or speak.
I never saw the other man before."
The other man was dirty and very poor-looking. The Spaniard was wearing a big Mexican hat and had a lot of white hair and a thick white beard under it. His eyes were hidden by green glasses. When they came in, the other man was talking in a low voice. The two men sat down on the floor facing the door with their backs to the wall, and the speaker went on.
"No,"
he said.
"I don't like it. It's dangerous."
"Dangerous?"
The voice of the deaf and dumb man, who couldn't hear or speak, sounded angry.